Call the resource committee order. For the record, Senator Frank, Senator Wyatt, Senator Cotton, Senator Jones are present. And we are on teleconference today. And what sites?
Ketchikan, Kodiak, Petersburg, Sitka, and Wayne.
Thank you. On today's agenda, we have Senate Bill 241. It's related to fisheries moratoriums. And we open the hearing at this time. Being the sponsor, I'll read a short statement. Senate Bill 241 would provide the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission with a tool that could be utilized on a temporary basis to manage certain fisheries. The legislation would authorize CFEC to establish a moratorium on new entrants into certain fisheries. At this point, the CFEC has only one tool at their disposal to regulate participation in the commercial fishery, the implementation of a permanent limited entry program. However, there are situations where there may not be sufficient information or data available on a particular resource to make informed decisions on how much effort a fishery can sustain. This is particularly true of fisheries which are experiencing a rapid growth in participation. An example of such a fishery would be the Southeast Dungeness Crab Cucumber fishery. Rather than resorting to a closure of the fishery while data is being collected, a temporary moratorium on new participants would allow the fishery to continue while the necessary information is being collected. In such instances, where the conservation and economic stability of the fishery is threatened by increased effort, but where a full-blown limited entry program may be inappropriate, a temporary moratorium, as proposed by Senate Bill 241, would buy time to look at data and alternative ways to manage the fishery. Some provisions of Senate Bill 241 are as follows. The CFEC would be authorized to initiate a moratorium under certain conditions. The commission would have to receive a petition from the Fish and Game Commissioner formally explaining the reasons for the need for a moratorium in a particular fishery. The moratorium would be placed on new participants in a fishery. The fishery must meet certain criteria to qualify for a moratorium, and participants must satisfy certain requirements in order to qualify for an interim use permit under the moratorium. 3. Regulations would have to be promulgated for the establishment of a moratorium, and there would thus be public hearings. 4. A moratorium may only be in effect for a maximum of 4 years and cannot be renewed. 5. During the moratorium period, the CFEC, the Department of Fish and Game, and the Board of Fish and the fishery participants will be working together, and research will be conducted into the fishery to obtain the needed data. 6. At the end of the moratorium period, the moratorium automatically expires and the fishery is again open to new entrants unless a determination has been made to limit the fishery. In short, Senate Bill 241 is not an attempt to limit the fishery. Rather, it is an attempt to buy time for a fishery that is threatened to learn about the resource and see what management tools are needed. The bill is supported by the Department of Fish and Game and, of course, by the Limited Entry Commission. Further support comes from certain commercial fishing groups, such as the Southeast Dungeness Crab Fishermen, and the participants in the developing dive fisheries, such as cucumbers and sea urchins. There is a series of questions and answers in the committee packets, and representatives of the Limited Entry Commission are here to go through the bill by section, if you wish, and to answer any questions. And I'll remind you that we are on teleconference, so use your mics. Thank you. Questions? Would you like the Entry Commission up here now?
There might be a couple.
Senator Cotton, I think there might be a question for you. Would limit entry, give a comment, please?
It's a question for the sponsor.
Yes, Senator Frank.
Right now they would just have to limit the length of the fishery. Is that how they would attempt to control over fishing?
Management.
Yeah,
right. Right, just by managing what management seasons quota.
What would be the advantage to limiting it in terms of, the main thing would be a concern that you would have over harvesting, right?
Over harvesting.
So couldn't they limit that by reducing the time?
They can.
I mean the quota or whatever, I mean don't they know how they normally?
They do that now. Mm-hmm. It's a tremendous amount of pressure out there.
Okay, thanks.
I think this will give them time to look at and see what the stocks can be. Stand. Welcome. Like to comment?
Well, I think your statement pretty well.
State your name and
Commissioner Listowski from the Commercial Fishery Entry Commission. I think your opening remarks pretty much cover what the bill does, and I think what Commissioner Smith and I would like to do today is just answer any questions that the committee may have on the bill.
Senator Lassen?
Mr. Chairman, I would prefer the commissioners to maybe give us some examples why we're looking towards this vehicle to resolve what issues have come up in the last year or two. I think that's where we are.
Well, the major, I think the sea urchin fishery, the sea cucumber fishery here in Southeast Alaska is a real good example of a new emerging fishery which is coming to be in the last couple of years. And there's been a lot of new effort into it. The Department of Fish and Game doesn't have a lot of information on that fishery. We don't have a lot of harvest records to make any major decisions on that fishery. And every year, as I understand, we're seeing more and more divers getting into that fishery. With this moratorium power, it would allow the commission to step in and sort of freeze the number of new entrants, get new people getting into that fishery, and give the commission, the Department of Fish and Game, the Board of Fish, and the legislature 4 years in which to come up with a solution to the over. Chance of over-harvesting in that particular fishery. Also, the sea urchin fishery in Southeast Alaska has going through some of the same kind of problems. And then those are new emerging fisheries, but we also have here in Southeast Alaska the Southeast Dungeness crab fishery, which is a fishery that's been in existence since the mid 1970s, but it may go back even further than that. And this is a fishery where the commission has been petitioned by fishermen on several occasions to limit. In fact, way back in 1985, the commission proposed a regulation to limit that fishery, and because of the testimony that was given at the hearings, and the commission decided not to limit that fishery. And we've been petitioning to limit that fishery again, and in this past year in the commission, again, does not feel that it could rationalize proposing a limited entry program for that fishery at this time, and mainly because of the large number of individuals that are in that fishery right now, and problems with the amount of pots that those individuals could fish, and there's So we don't think that the limited entry program, the salmon limited entry program, would help. And having this moratorium, though, would give us 4 years to take a look at that fishery. And but also within that 4 years, the Dungeness crab fishermen from the southeast are fearful that there's going to be fishermen from down below, the lower 48, coming up to Southeast Alaska because of the decline of the Dungeness stocks and off some of the Pacific states. And having a moratorium on power, we could freeze new entrants out and keep those people who are in the fishery right now fishing for 4 years while we try to come up with a plan for that fishery. And it may not be after 4 years, as Senator Jones said, either the moratorium ends and becomes an open entry fishery, or we impose the limited entry, the salmon limited entry program on that fishery, or a completely new limited entry scheme could be devised in those 4 years that may be appropriate for that fishery. And and 4 years is even sort of a short time, because now the Board of Fish, which as I understand it now, is on a 3-year review of a fishery. So they just review the regulations for each fishery once every 3 years. So those are some of the uses that could be made here in Southeast of this. Phil, do you have any thoughts to that?
Yeah, for the record, Mr. Chairman, I'm Phil Smith. I'm one of the Rich's co-commissioner of the Limited Entry Commission. I think one example of the utility of this bill is in an area where we were virtually forced into limited entry in order to keep a fishery open, and that's the Togiak herring spot on kelp fishery. 2 years ago, the Commissioner of Fish and Game petitioned us to limit entry in that fishery because of his deep concern that in the absence of control of the number of people on the beach, he had no choice under the constitutional guidelines but to close that fishery. He didn't know, you know, how many people were going to show up and this appointed day in May, how rapidly they could take the quota. They'd run a series of seasons for like a period of four years in a row or 3 years in a row, or they had vastly exceeded the quota. And yet the fishery was of extreme importance to the primarily low-income people living in Kodiak and Manitowoc and Twin Hills in that part of the state. And the concern was that in the absence of effort limitation, that fishery would have to close. At the time, the only tool available to us to respond to his petition was the formal limited entry mechanism with point systems and applications and transferable permits and all of that type of thing. I think that had we had a moratorium capability, A, we could have proceeded with it a lot more quickly. B, if we had adopted it, it would be a lot less expensive than this whole limited entry process. And C, it would have bought the department the time that they needed and the participants to see if perhaps new regulatory guidelines might need to be developed for the fishery in terms of the means that we're allowed to harvest the kelp, to examine, perhaps question the quotas that have been established and so forth. And we could have accomplished basically the same purpose, which was to keep the fishery open. We could have done it without a lot less government intrusion into the whole process out there. And as it was, we didn't have a moratorium ability, and so we did proceed with limitation, and that program is getting down the road. The fishery is open today. But I think that experience shows that there is a real threat of total closure of a fishery if there isn't some way of determining beforehand what the effort is going to look like. And the department currently has no such authority. They can set seasons, they can set quotas and bag limits, they can establish methods and means for the harvest, and so forth, but they can't say how many people can come in following the rules and try to harvest the resource. So the moratorium is basically a very low-cost, inexpensive way for the department and the commission to work together to try to rationalize all of the known factors in a fishery and to control entry while steps are being taken with the boards of fish, with the fishermen themselves, most particularly with the fishermen themselves, because they're the ones with the direct economic stake in the continuation and the health of and stability of the fishery. And it also buys the legislature and everybody else time to take a second look, maybe allocate a few more management bucks, you know, do some surveys and so forth. This is not something that we're delighted with because it expands our powers, but rather because it gives us options which are less onerous than the ones we currently have.
Senator Lyson?
Sure, I can understand the new fisheries, like the good numbers and whatever else is out there, but I fail to understand the reasoning behind the limit entry proposals on Clemson's crab. It's been going since 1970. Yeah, that's 20 years. So it seems to me that somebody can make up their mind whether they want to do it now or not do it. So how is this going to help that when they've been doing it for 20 years?
Well, I think that where it's going to help is that during the four-year period, it'll allow, again, the CFEC and the Department of Fish and Game and the Board of Fish to take a look at that fishery and maybe what we need for that fishery is something else besides the limited entry program that's on the books at this time.
Senator Lassen.
Well, I guess I'm still a little confused. I don't see how many options there are out there. Right now you have the options of going into a limited entry program. You could have done it 4 years ago or 2 years ago or 10 years ago. So if you're going to buy 4 more years, how does that change anything? I can understand how it would change an emerging fishery like the cucumbers or sea urchins or those types of critters or Dungeness. My goodness. You know, it seems to me that should have been either done or not done at this point.
Well, what the moratorium would do during that 4 years, we would have no new entrants could get into that fishery. We have those 4 years to think of different ways of handling that problem. I don't have any specific ideas right now, but maybe there is some other kind of a limited entry program besides a licensing program that would work for that fishery. Maybe it has something to do with vessels. It could be some other scheme. And during these 4 years, it allows us to talk openly about limited entry without worrying about individuals jumping into that fishery just because there's talk about limited entry and they think that they would have a chance to score a permit.
Yep. If I could add to that,
yes, please do.
So they're jumping, huh?
If I jumped,
Senator, the one of the problems that the limited entry program we currently have, as we try to apply it to a situation such as exists in Southeast Dungeness, is that the current program is what's called the license type limited entry program, whereby an individual receives a permit and with that permit can fish under the rules and regulations established by the Board of Fish. It does not necessarily limit effort. Our concern is that were we to adopt a limited entry program in Southeast Dungeness, that the number of units of gear, i.e. the number of crab pots that are dropped on top of the dungeons, could increase dramatically. In which case, the limited entry program had not really served the goal of limiting effort. Under the moratorium authority, a number of things could happen, as Rich pointed out. One is that we would foreclose any anticipatory entry. Two, we would be able to work closely with the department and the fishermen to determine whether or not a regulatory pot limit of, say, 50 pots or 100 pots might be more conducive to the long-term goals of the participants in the fishery than the current pot limit, which is 300, of which very few fishermen actually fish the entitlement of 300 pots. And thirdly, there are, as Rich alluded to, perhaps regulatory or legislative fixes. For instance, we could redefine unit of gear and allow us to limit under that capability. This is pure speculation on my part, but if legislation said that you can define unit of gear as numbers of pots, then we could issue permits based on 50 pots or 100 pots or whatever that unit is, and that way we would be contributing to a control of effort. Those things would have to come back to the legislature. But meanwhile, while the powers that be are thinking all that through and trying to come up with a viable long-term solution, you would not have an increase in effort to the point that the viability of the fishery is threatened.
Senator Lassen?
I don't see why you would have to come back to the legislature for a limited amount of gear. I think the fish board could do that. I think if you were going to limit entry into the Dungeness cat fisheries, along with that notification, along with the limits put on the pots that are out there today, you could do the same thing. I can't believe that there's not a lot of people out there now who have been fishing Dungeness for the last few years who anticipate being into the limited entry program if, in fact, it goes forward. that's not going to change. I think every fishery we have now that's not limited, there's probably more participants because of the fact it just might be limited. So, especially in Dungeness, it seems to me that that is an example for this. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. But once again, I can understand it on a cucumber where we had to shut it down because nobody knew anything about it.
Clearly makes more sense in emerging fisheries.
Right, and we had people coming into the state with divers right out of Puget Sound who were getting involved in it when things were put out of hand. The only choice they had was to stop all the fisheries. And then I've heard a lot of locals who were out there doing this until they had a chance to see what the effects would be. Well, we know what the effects are going to be in Dungeness. Have you been petitioned to put a limited entry program in the Dungeness crabs or king crabs in Southeastern?
Southeastern king crab is limited.
Yeah, but why not the venture then?
Well, when we look, well, right now there is the problem with the gear that Phil mentioned. If we limited the Dungeness crab fishery right now, Senator, the maximum number would be 271. There's a 300 pot limit. That means that if each one of those, they never would do this, but it means that the potential we could have 8,000 pots fishing in that fishery. Those 271 vessels are reporting to Fish and Game that they fish someplace around 48 or 49,000 pots. That's what they're claiming to be fishing. If you look at the top 50 fishermen in that fishery, and you give each one of those 50 300 pots, that's 15,000 pots. Those 300 fishermen fishing at a maximum of 15,000 pots are accounting for close to 68 or 69% of the harvest of Dungeness crabs. So our program, limiting it at 271, even if we cut the gear almost in half, and allow that fleet to be fishing 40,000 pots, it just doesn't seem that we'd be doing any good for the resource. And that's our problem with rationalizing and imposing limited entry on that fishery at this time.
What's in effect now today is that anyone who wants to fish Dungeness crab in southeastern Alaska can enter that fishery. The only restrictions are they can't use more than 300 pots. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the seasons.
It's a season. Yes.
Senator Frank?
Well, I think next to us. You're saying that you want to do it for a moratorium, but you don't want to. I guess you don't want to limit the number of pots. Is that that's probably a pretty tough decision to make.
No, it's not a tough decision to make, but it's one that the Board of Fish has to make. That the commission has no control over gear.
I see. So, have you petitioned the Board of Fish to limit methods and means there by reducing the pots?
We haven't asked the Board of Fish to do that. We would be dependent upon the Dungeness crab fishermen to do that.
So the Board of Fish hasn't taken that issue up?
Well, and they may have in the past, and I believe that at one time the limit was 600 pots, so I think they, in the past, they cut it down from 600 to 300. The board, if there's a proposal made to the board, they would take it up, and it would either be the fishermen would have to do that, or the department would have to put a proposal in, the managing biologist. But the commission doesn't involve itself with that aspect of regulation.
So you're here to ask us for powers to limit, albeit temporarily, the fishery with the explanation that you're concerned about the resource, but the agencies empowered to protect the resource are not taking action to protect the resource. Is that a fair assessment?
May I venture an answer to that?
Sure.
Senator, I don't think that's really a fair characterization. I think the department has done a lot to try to manage that resource. The one thing they don't have any control over is how many people show up every spring to take advantage. Under current guidelines, I believe the department and the managers of the Southeast Shellfish biologists feel comfortable that they can maintain that fishery. It's the fishermen themselves who are concerned that right around the corner there's a whole fleet of boats from Puget Sound and Westport and the Columbia River who are going to be up here next year because they see those dungey stocks declining in the Northwest. And so they've come to us and we have said, look, with pot limits the way they are, we don't think our program is going to do any good. And I think those same fishermen are not averse to talking about pot limits and other management tools in the future, and I don't think the department is averse to it. It's just that, to this point.
So we're really talking about economic regulation as opposed to resource protection. I mean, if you want to be, is that fair?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, clearly if another 500 people show up to participate in that fishery, you've got a real problem on the resource itself. And I'm not a biologist, but I think the biologists would start to get real worried and start talking about cutting back the season, which might have an economic impact. So I don't think they're entirely separable.
And one of the things about the boats from the Northwest that may come up here, those boats are larger craft and would probably be fishing the maximum number of pots. These would be professional dungeness crab fishermen from Washington and Oregon. And it is the fear of the dungeness crab fishermen that I talked to in Petersburg, you know, that this fleet's going to come up and further complicate their lives. I think you'll hear, if Petersburg testifies, I think you'll hear that from
what about, now these, just so I get a better feel for this dungeness, the current people in it, so these guys fish lots of things, including dungeness, they don't just concentrate it, but the ones that are in Seattle may be concentrating on that and be able to help kind of overrun the domestic fleet, or the Alaskan fleet. Well, do you have a feel for what percentage of the 271 people that fish the southeastern dungeness, what percentage is Alaskan resident, and what is Seattle-based or out of state?
Yeah, I don't have the statistics, but it's almost 100, something like 85 or 90% resident. It's all mostly southeast craft fishermen. It's a very, very, very strong southeastern fishery. Not too many.
Senator Frank, if I might, I'd like to have Debbie Lloyd from the department, Fish and Game Department. Can you come up? You might as well be at the table there too at the same time. Then some of these questions are more directed toward the department.
Can I call that up with another question?
You bet, Senator Frank.
So if you use the existing law and completely closed it, then you'd have to get into assigning points and all that stuff, so that there would be some theoretical opportunity for an Alaskan to someday get an opportunity to fish dungeness. Whereas if you went with the moratorium, you wouldn't have to go through all that sort of thing. You could just limit it to those that now have them, and you wouldn't have to make any provision for transferring those things, those permits, or for new entrants into the
Correct. With the understanding that in 4 years, Senator, the moratorium would expire by its own motion. Operation of the Act. And during that period of time, either the board or the industry or the commission or somebody will have the time to come up with what would be perceived to be a long-term solution.
Seems like there would be a tremendous amount of pressure on legislators, particularly southeastern legislators, to maintain a system once it was established. To maintain a moratorium, to do a continued moratorium, that would be easy to expect, I'm sure.
I think that may be true, but at some point, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but at some point you're going to run into a close class question. You're going to have some way of reopening that fishery eventually.
I don't know. I was just looking at that constitution here. Resource conservation to prevent economic distress amongst fishermen. I could imagine they would feel that they would be distressed if others, got into the market that they had exclusive use of.
Well, it could well lead to limitation under the current program, in which case.
But the legislature said when it passed law under this constitutional amendment that you at least have to have a system for selling. You at least have to have an opportunity to get, I assume, to come into the market. So there's some, you know, there's some desire there to keep new entrants, you know, able to get into the market. I mean, if you kept reauthorizing moratoriums, pretty soon you'd have a bunch of rich old fishermen there. You know, they, if you didn't, and I can see that.
Old anyway.
That's true. That was, that may not be rich.
Yeah, right.
They would be old. But I could see the pressure on Senator Elias and Senator Jones to re-up that would be pretty intense. I didn't think they'd want to change it once you put one in. You know how we haven't let anything sunset around here, and we haven't, things tend to stay the same. I guess that would be my concern in the meantime.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Rick.
Mr. Chairman, I just found the residency of non-residents for the 88-89 was 9%, 23 individuals. And of those, majority of them come from the state of Washington, Oregon, and a few from California. Well, there's a couple from Colorado, Idaho, and Vermont.
Y'all come from Vermont.
Okay, just for the record, Senator Zaroff and Senator Menard joined us a while ago. Any further questions, Senator Frank?
Yeah.
Senator Cotton?
What started this? Was it the kooks or the crabs? Was it developing fisheries or was it
the crabs?
Was it developing or the existing? Which was the, what was the impetus for the idea?
The emerging fisheries. This was started because of a fisherman from Sitka was concerned about the sea cucumber fishery, which is we've had a lawsuit and so forth. And I think he was the one that got the ball rolling.
So basically, the sea cucumber fishery, or a developing fishery, is what got started on this. And I had a couple other questions here. Unless you had some right on that right there,
I'm just giving you mine.
Yeah, Bar Center.
How long would it take you to implement limited entry, as an example, in either Southeast Dungeness or cucumbers? I mean, just understand the mechanical problems, but what. As far as the length of time, how long would it take you to do that?
If we were to limit, for instance, the Dungeness crab fishery, if we were to hold hearings on a maximum number, and at the end of that hearing process, we voted two votes to limit that fishery, the Lieutenant Governor's office signed off on that regulation.
Sparks another question.
We would have limited entry this year. It would mean that the eligibility date would be January 1st, 1991. And because we wouldn't be able to get it done before the Dungeness crab season opens in June, people who fished Dungeness crab for the first time this year would be out. They would not be allowed to make application to get into the program next year. And there would just and it would just be the people who fished in the four previous years to limitation. Most likely, we would create a window of 4 years.
So, is it theoretically possible that you could, starting today, go through the entire process and have it placed by January '92?
Yes, I would think so. Yes.
Well, can I expand on that? Yes, in that the regulation would be in place, the fishery would be limited. But then the other shoe drops, and that's the development of a point system to determine which of the universe of people who are eligible to apply for one of, say, 270 permits would get them. And that requires another whole regulatory scheme to be developed, the development of a point system, the adoption of it, an application period, adjudication of applications and processing. It could be 5 or 6 years before the full implementation of the limitation were to occur, with the actual 270 people who were supposed to get permits having them.
But the point, it would be the same effect as this moratorium, in that there would be there would be no more than what you had originally. Another question is a little bit off point, but it gets to this whole issue, and right now you have the power to authorize new permits in an existing fishery if those fishermen are unable to harvest the resource satisfactorily. Correct. Like, let's take an example of the Southeast Seine fleet. If it was determined that there was too many fish, you could authorize new permits there.
If we are currently working on the Southeast Seine fleet because of a Supreme Court decision, Johns versus the state, that it has to do with optimum numbers. We have our staff presently as research people are concentrating on that. And if we came up with, like for instance, we've been talking about 270 for this Dungeness fishery. If that Dungeness fishery was under the limited entry program, and we were trying to come up with an optimum number, 270 is the maximum number. The optimum number would be the one that economists and biologists would come up with. And if the optimum number turned out to be 300, then the commission would add 30 more permits to that Dungeness fishery, and those permits would be sold at fair market value. Auction or something like that.
But the point is that you legally right now can authorize new entries into an area that's limited.
We have never done it, and
that's the point.
And we're going through this process. Well, coming up with an optimum number, etc., is something we're working on this one fishery, and something that we want to make sure that the formula that we put together is one that's going to stand up in the courts. Especially if you're going to be putting permits into a fishery.
Oh yeah, I mean, we all wonder about that. A lot of enhancement going on different fisheries. See that they're happy about that, but they wouldn't be as happy if they knew the number of permittees was going to double. So the point is, I mean, and I don't mean to speak negatively of this, but it appears that this is what it amounts to an instant limited entry. It gives you 4 years to get your stuff together. Probably not going to have anybody else enter into the fishery by the time you decide to do a moratorium. That's going to be it. Nobody else will get in there. And in fact, for that period of time, Senator Frank points out, there won't be anybody that can even buy in during that moratorium period. But it's very unlikely that you would decide that you wanted more people in a fishery after you've made a decision to put a moratorium on it. Obviously you don't have any experience in this, so you can't really say for sure. But with the experience you've had with limited entry in Alaska since whenever it got started, you've never allowed another single permit into an area. I'd say that that's at least a good possibility. But on the other hand, it does seem like as a management tool, you gave a good example with the herring out there in Togiak. And so I haven't made a conclusion on my part, but I'm examining the pros and cons here. So
I think it's probably more easy to say that you'll never let another permit in when you have a healthy and a well-developed fishery that has gone to a limited entry form. I think with the developing fishery, though, that's really speculative. One of the problems we have in Southeast cucumbers is nobody knows exactly how many there are and where they are and so forth. A couple of years worth of research might indicate to the department that there's 10 times as many of these things as we thought there were. Entry can be reopened, and we'd be happy to do so.
How many people are diving, or how many operations? How do you even qualify? What is it? A cucumber fishery? Who is the fisherman? Is it the diver, the boat owner?
It's the diver.
Currently, it's a guy that picks a cucumber off the bottom of the sea.
How many divers are there?
I can't answer that off the top of my head.
So a boat might have how many divers, for example?
That's the size of the boat.
Limit?
I don't even know what the range is. What's the range on a boat?
Well, they lose a boat to headquarters on a boat and have,
Center line?
Yep.
You're on teleconference. Is there a question?
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand exactly what's going on there so I can understand, who the fisherman is. So Senator Lyons is pointing out that you might have a big boat with several divers or a small boat with one. So I don't know what the range is. Can anyone tell me that?
Denby?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Denby Lloyd, Director of Division of Commercial Fisheries. Maybe I could start off with some general statements to explore this high impact or the emerging fisheries concept, which, as I understand, was the original impetus for the bill. The sea cucumber fishery in Southeast is only a few years old. It started off with some very local diving, skiff operations, things like that. People found a resource, and there was a ready market that had been established from similar fisheries elsewhere. When people realized the product had such high value and that it could indeed be shipped efficiently from this locale to those markets, the effort increased drastically, not just within the state, but from vessels outside the state. And and it evolved from what I believe started off as kind of a several person per skiff kind of operation to some larger operations that were even using 80-foot platforms and 6 to 10 diver teams going around the clock, basically scouring an area. So you do have a broad range of potential participants, and as this fishery grew up until late last year, it was just an explosive growth in divers. So explosive that the department could not manage that fishery any longer. We were getting concerns from other areas for local depletion. There was some concern about over-harvest in terms of limiting subsistence access to the resource and things like that. And so given that we did not have the opportunity to limit the number of people in that fishery or even to slow the fishery down in terms of effort, we had no choice but to close it, and we did close it. The closure gave us at least some time to go out and make an assessment of the resource. How many were, what the abundance was, the availability, the inappropriate harvest level for some particular areas. And with that information, we were able to go back and open up some small areas for some fisheries this spring. We've also had time to develop a management plan for all of Southeast. Went to the Board of Fisheries with that, and we have now a proposed rotational cycle of areas that would open up on a one every 3 year basis to allow some stable harvest. That may be sufficient for the time being for even the level of divers that this fishery increased to, but we're not certain. But if a moratorium had been placed back in 1990 when we had to close the fishery because of the rapid expansion, we believe that we could have kept that fishery open with a stable number of divers that we knew who they were, and we could have moved them around Southeast so that there wouldn't have been the local depletion, and also given ourselves the time to try to do some of the surveys. The idea of a several year moratorium is even more beneficial in some respects, because then we can come to the legislature and ask for the funding required to do what in essence is a completely new set of surveys. We had nothing in our budget sea cucumber abundance estimates or to develop a sea cucumber management plan. We used some of our Southeast herring money to do some of that work, to the detriment of, hopefully not very much, but to the risk of the herring fishery. We don't like to do that, but there was a lot of money, a lot of dependence reliant on continued harvest of sea cucumbers, and we mobilized as quickly as we could to deal with that. With a moratorium, we would have had more of an opportunity to allow the fishery to go on, continue to bring income into the southeastern communities without a hiatus, and also to come to the legislature and present a plan for funding for continuation of that fishery. I guess that's the end of my overview. Hopefully it answered some questions.
Well, I appreciate that, and I was kind of jumping around different questions. It sounds like one of the conclusions is it's much easier to manage a smaller number of people.
Senator Cotton, that is true. But in some cases, it's impossible to manage a certain size number of people. And when we reach that conclusion, we do close the fishery. And with the closure, there's no revenue coming in, and there's no harvest opportunity.
Senator Frank.
Thank you. So you mean a person wouldn't have to get any kind of a permit, just get a fishing license, and they could go harvest cucumbers wherever with no bag limits or anything?
The department managed the sea cucumber fishery by virtue of our permit authority. There was no limitation on licenses, et cetera. So we were issuing permits that could specify where a person could go dive and, in some cases, how many that person could take. But we could not limit the number of permits issued. Basically, if somebody came in and said, I want a permit to go fish, we had to issue them a permit, which meant we also had to figure out where to place this fisherman and develop some idea of how many he could go harvest. That's a little difficult to do with a program in place.
If I could follow that up, so you do know, a person can't go out and fish for sea cucumbers without first registering with the department. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so you know who they are. And in fact, when you issue a permit, you can tell them some geographical locations that they may or may not go. And you have the authority to do bag limits. But what about the length of time between changing bag limits? Could you change bag limits? I mean, let me see. Do you have a problem with not knowing how many people are going to come into the fishery in a particular year, and so you don't know how high you should set your bag limit?
Yes, Senator, that is a definite hazard. And what I'm describing here also is what I call the permit system. We're only allowed to do that up to a certain point, beyond which we have to go to the Board of Fisheries and ask for permanent regulations. Our permit authority is for very newly developing fisheries. Basically, people are calling them exploratory fisheries.
Yeah.
So that we give a guy a permit, he goes into an area, he can harvest things, he gives us information, allows him some benefit to reap a return. But after a certain point, you have to establish it as a fishery with regular regulations that went through the Administrative Procedures Act, generally the Board of Fishery process. So we can't just continue to manage a fishery on a permit basis for very long. The sea cucumber fishery, given the potential competing users and the size of the fishery, basically got beyond what we were told by the Attorney General's office we could accommodate with the permitting authority. And yet we didn't have time to go to the Board of Fisheries at that point, and that was another factor in the closure of that fishery until we could go back and develop a management plan.
Senator Frank, follow-up?
Yeah, I guess maybe it's more of a statement, but it seems like, again, it's an economic as opposed to a resource protection issue, and, you know, whether that's right or wrong, we can debate, but it seems like the board, you know, and I don't know if anybody from the board's here or not, but, you know, the department says that you have to go to the board to get them to do, you know, to make regulations and that sort of thing, but it seems like somebody's empowered, I guess it's the Board of Fisheries, to protect the resource with necessary means and methods and other tools that they have to protect the resource. And I guess I hate to see the issues confused. I'd like to see them separated and presented, debated on their own, so that we don't get resource protection. You know, it's often done. We probably did it with the game. With big game guides and that sort of thing too, you know, all jumbled together, but we wind up arguing resource protection when really we might should be talking about economic protection, and there may be very desirable to protect the fishery, and you know, that's 85% Alaskan and that's threatened from outside. I don't know, that may be very valid. I'd like to see us keep them as separate as we can, so that we know why we're doing what we're doing.
Well, I tend to agree with you, Senator. From the department's perspective, however, we will do our best to assure conservation will stop. The unfortunate part, perhaps, and what this bill may be trying to address is that some of our tools are all or nothing. And if we see a conservation problem that we can't deal with our management tools, we will close the fishery. That seems to be a drastic step when there may be ways to allow continuation of the fishery.
And I'm going to just respond a little bit. I think limited entry is a drastic step, frankly. I don't know if you use bag limits on sea cucumbers. It sounds like, I don't know, but it sounds like you can shift people around to different areas to rotate so that they don't deplete stocks and that sort of thing. But I guess the limited entry, you know, should be, in my opinion, the last thing, so that Alaskans aren't denied the opportunity to get into the fishing business well, and so that we stay with this, you know, the spirit of the former Constitution of allowing, you know, maximum use of the resource to maximum the people, that sort of thing. I just hate to see us jump into a limited entry before we needed, you know, before it could be proven that we really needed to do that. Easy for me to say.
Yeah. Bill? Well,
Senator, I think your point's very well taken, and I think that's one of the reasons that the Commission supports the bill. Because this is a step that is significantly short of limited entry, as we have come to know it and dislike it, as the case may be. And it buys the time to look at all the alternatives to the final imposition of limited entry under Chapter 43 of Title 16, as we it's currently the only option. And this gives us a considerably softer touch to approach the question of limiting the total number of people who are going to participate, because at some point, Denby's authority, as he points out, to do permitting and moving people around is going to disappear, and they're going to be subject to a lawsuit from somebody who says, you're managing this as a as an emerging fishery or as an exploratory fishery. It's not. You know, I went down to Limited Entry Commission, I bought a piece of plastic, I've got a right to go jump off a boat and harvest cucumbers. And when enough people do that, that fishery will close in the absence of some other, perhaps more finely honed management tools, or in the absence of more information about the status of the biomass. And this I consider, or I think we consider, is a considerable step shorter than limited entry as we have it in the salmon and the herring fisheries.
Senator Zaroff, and then Senator Lassen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, at least if the fishery closes under that, you're closing it because of the impact on the resource more than anything else. You're not taking into account the economics of the fisheries. Taking a look at the impact on the resource and the effect that it's having there. I guess I'm, you know, you mentioned Togiak, and I just came back from that Bristol Bay conference up there, and the limited entry system that was set up there on the herring fisheries was not good. Talking to the local people in Togiak, it didn't do what you wanted it to do. There's a lot of people that are concerned about the, you know, that whole process, and I know I participated in some of that, in some of the hearings that we've had there. It's not the panacea for the problems, and Senator Frank is absolutely right. Limited entry is final. That's it. There's no more new entries. I haven't seen any new fishing permits allowed in the salmon fisheries, but yet we're looking at harvest runs these years. And I remember in the past, in the early discussions when we talked about that, that there was supposed to have been some scale or some mechanism built in there that, you know, back in the early 70s when the limited entry went into place in salmon, the runs were historically low. And now, I don't know, I'd have to go back and look at the figures, but I imagine we're 3, 4, 5 times that amount of salmon coming back for harvest in this state. And yet there hasn't been one permit that I know of, in addition to what's been issued back then, except for the Wasilli case. And that was something that was taken to court in order to do that. But I guess, you know, I'm seeing this here as an end run to establishing a limited entry system in here, one that you could not get through the normal process. And I don't know what you've been doing in the Dungeness fisheries here since 1985, to work towards setting up a limited entry program in this area, if that's indeed the case. And I'm looking at some of the statistics here on the number of vessels. In 88-89, there were 266 vessels, which indicates an all-time high participation. And then over the last 2 years, it's gone down from 249 to 222. And yet the catch in pounds has stayed, well, since 81, has been roughly an average of about 2.5 million pounds a year.
Oh, don't we have that?
I don't know if I'm asking any questions or what, or just making comments, but I just kind of see this. And, you know, if you're allowed to establish a moratorium for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, or whatever period it takes there to do that, I can't all of a sudden see us coming back, or seeing the state come back and say, well, we made a mistake here, we're sorry we couldn't allow any new entrants in the fisheries for the last 4 years. You know, we have to do a limited entry.
Well,
just a couple of comments, Senator. One is that it's important to note that under Senator Jones' bill, the commission does not act independent of the commissioner of Fish and Game. In fact, the commission may not act in the absence of a request from the commissioner of Fish and Game, which throws this whole thing pretty much into the bailiwick of sort of an in extremis kind of motion. Secondly, there is an interest in this thing amongst the Dungeness crab fishermen, because as Commissioner Kostowski pointed out, for 7 years, this commission has denied them limited entry, which they asked for originally in 1984 We said, we don't think this program is going to serve the long-term interests of the fishery and the conservation and sustained yield and the economic health and stability and all of those things. And this bill was originated in response to the rapidly emerging and developing fishery scenario, which then, when it appeared that it could be used for established fisheries such as Dungeness, people expressed some interest. I can't speak for the commission at this point, and I certainly can't speak for the commissioner of Fish and Game to say that a moratorium on Dungeness would result from this legislation. I can't make that prediction based on what we know at this point. And on that Togiak thing, Senator, I know you were with us for part of that. And as I commented earlier, and I'd like to stress, this would have been preferable to the heavy-handed tool of limited entry that was finally used there. And based upon local perceptions, we used the limited entry program in that fishery to keep it open. That's the only reason.
We were referring to that we haven't put any new permits into any of the fisheries except put in by Wassily and other court cases. When I go to Bristol Bay and I just returned from Bristol Bay, most of the fishermen there aren't worried about putting more permits in there. They're concerned about buyback. We did a lot of discussion about buyback. Most people a lot of fishermen are talking to us about taking permits out of the fishery. And one of the things about putting permits in, if you look at the Bristol Bay fishery, that drift net fishery, when this was limited in 1972, and look at the kind of vessels and gear that was used in 1972-73, the kind of boats and the nets, the efficiency of that fleet has, I would say, more than doubled, could even have tripled from what the fishing power was of those 16 or 1700 permit gear license holders back then.
Senator Off. Senator Lassen.
Mr. Chairman, I suspect we'd probably debate limit entry from been doing it for 12, 15, 20 years. Now we can continue on another 20 years. But we've had, number one, I don't think that applying this concept to fisheries that have been in place for a number of years doesn't make a lot of sense. If you can tell me 271 boats that they're eligible to put out 300 pots in southeastern Alaska, you're not doing the resource any good at all. And I don't know what's transpired out there. I don't know if he was able to do it on the other crab fisheries, certainly the salmon fisheries. And I don't know what's holding on to the crab fishery. And I don't think I want to give you something that says you can put a moratorium on them next year because you couldn't resolve it for the last 20 years. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But I do know that emerging fisheries, such as the ones we're talking about, the sea cucumbers, those types, where there has been a lot of interest, there was a lot of local participation, a lot of people working in some of these southeastern communities in the wintertime, they had people processing, they had people harvesting. Created a new economy for those people who had nothing to do that time of year. They weren't all fishermen, they were others. And all of a sudden, for lack of biological information, the department closed them down because of the influx of people from out of state, people that have been doing this for a number of years along the whole West Coast. So obviously, at that time, the moratorium would have done, I think, a benefit to the people in Southeastern and also give the department time to get their act together. But I can't imagine that the Limited Entry Commission really reacts, they don't act. I can't think of one specific fisheries they limited which made a lot of sense to me numbers-wise. Every fisheries that's limited, as far as I'm concerned today, has too many boats in the fishery because of certain pressures you couldn't limit down to the optimum number that a number is ever established. But in either case, I think a good example is a blackcap fishery in Chatham Straits, which you put in effect here a few years ago. At one time, that was a winter fishery where some boats would participate for 3-4 months. And they were fishing on a quota, I think it was 1 million pounds. And with the event of limit entry, which in my opinion took a hell of a lot more boats in that fishery than should have been, that 1 million pounds is being doubled and tripled every year in a one-day fishery. So I'm not saying that a limit entry program is not a good program for the resource. I'm saying that if we'd have put limit entry or had a moratorium on the halibut fishery 15 years ago in Kodiak, we would have more than a one-day fishery in the Gulf of Alaska. If we didn't have a limit entry program in Bristol Bay, we probably couldn't open the fishery. There'd be so damn many boats up there. So those are the trade-offs, and I don't think that anybody's comfortable with the programs, but it's the best thing we got going for us until somebody comes up with a new idea. And a moratorium on old fisheries is not a good idea. But I think it deserves some serious consideration on the emerging fisheries, or people get a chance to put everything on hold and see what the heck's going on out there. But maybe those fisheries should be identified. But a lot of us don't know. It might be mussels, who knows? Maybe whatever it might be. But I'm sure there's one going to come with the eggs out of these, what are they called?
Sea urchins.
No, that's big money. That's coming, we can see it'll be here. If we don't have a moratorium, for the ability to put a moratorium on that, the same thing's going to happen. So, you know, I guess you got to do what you think is right. And I certainly don't think it's right to put a moratorium on fisheries like the crab fishery has been here for a long period of time. That's not the purpose of this. I'm rather distressed to find out that they're talking in those terms rather than they should be talking in terms of new fisheries.
Senator, what do you do about a fishery then? Just make it limited? Just go right to limited when it's got a problem?
What I'm saying, there's no way that Southeast Alaska can have 271 boats fishing crab, Dungeness crab, with 300 pots each. No way.
That's right.
It doesn't benefit this resource, doesn't benefit anyone. So I'm saying, either do it or don't do it, but don't use this as a vehicle to put a moratorium on a problem which you can't resolve under the rules and regulations and laws we have now.
Senator Frank.
Thank you. Why doesn't the department use bag limits and other means and methods regulations to limit the sea cucumber thing to favor Alaskans? In other words, open the thing up at times that would make it inconvenient for a person to come up, do the whole season, and then leave. Why not have bag limits and periodic openings so that Alaskans would be the only ones that would naturally fish it, because to come back and forth for limited numbers of sea cucumbers would be inefficient and it wouldn't make any sense.
Mr. Chairman, there's a very quick answer to that. We're not allowed to do that. We would be subject to court challenge as soon as we discuss the idea that we were purposely advantaging residents over non-residents. There are always some considerations, I guess, if you look at how regulations are adopted, who benefits and who doesn't. And I think if you look at the impact of some regulatory schemes, you'll see that some people are benefiting, some aren't, but not as a stated intent going in. The Board of Fisheries struggles with the same thing all the time. And they cannot explicitly pass regulations that benefit residents versus non-residents.
Well, it sounds like an excuse to me, frankly, because who's to say why you're doing it? I mean, people are arguing for economic protection under the guise of resource protection, so it seems like you could argue resource protection to where if you open the thing up for a few days every month or so, you could say that you were doing it, and you might be doing it so that you could get a handle on what the harvest was before you set the bag limit for the next one or things. I can't see being limited by the U.S. protection, constitutions on that. I could see where somebody could argue it, but I could see where the court would find. I don't know what the case law is. Do we have some case law in Alaska fisheries on it?
Mr. Chairman, I can't cite it to you, but yes, I believe there have been some cases. And I was always trying to be fairly subtle in my response. I will not sit here and tell you that the department is setting regulations that benefit one user versus another.
Yeah, working on subsistence.
Me personally, Senator.
Senator Zara.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I guess this limited entry issue is one that's going to be around quite some time, and we're going through the same gyrations in the bottom fisheries as to who is entitled to fish and how much fish they're entitled to or whatever. You know, we're just never going to probably reach a happy solution to this. But it seems to me that I remember the early arguments with the original limited entry program where it was to keep Alaskans fishing and outsiders out. And I hear the same arguments with the Dungeness fisheries down here. You want to keep those boats that are in there now and the outsiders out. And when we look at the track record of what happened with the original limited entry program, it hasn't worked. Whether the outsiders are from out of state or they're from out of the region. And you can cite example on example there of communities where permits were in once in abundance and now they're down to handfuls, in some cases only one permit per village. So, you know, this is just, to me, is just not the, you know, it's not the answer. And I don't know how you achieve this other than through the regulatory process and the proper management of fish and game. And it's, looking at just an example of what you have here in your Dungeness fisheries, and you take a look at the catch in pounds, and then you look at the number of vessels, and there's almost a correlation. Imagine when the predictions came out and they were quite high, you saw an increase in the number of vessels. When the predictions came out and they were low, you saw a decrease. I think as it was in 77, 78, 81, 81, 82. Specifically there from 81 to 82, there was quite an increase there in the catch and poundage, and there was an increase in the number of vessels. And, you know, frankly, when they did the salmon limited entry, you know, the three critical years, I think, was what, 70, 71, 72, that was really the bottom of the fisheries in terms of the salmon returns. And a lot of people that normally would have fished those years were out construction working, or they were doing other jobs, or they were skippers were crewing on other boats, and so on. Okay? The economics of the fisheries itself seems to sort of take care of itself. I mean, if the economics aren't there, you're just not going to get into the fisheries. You're going to find other things to do, and that's happened time and time again. And you know, if your catch in pounds here is decreasing, I don't see how you're going to get the outside participation. And they've got to run long ways to get up here. They've got to invest in all the gear to get up here. Maybe some of the gear that they've already got invested. I don't know. But, Mr. Chairman, I guess I kind of find myself agreeing quite a bit with the comments of my colleague from the Interior, and his perception of the problem, because I agree with everything he said, and I also agree with what Senator Eliason is saying in terms of the existing fisheries. I have a problem with the emerging fisheries, but I'm willing to accept that. But going beyond that, I think is going too far, because the tools are in place right now. If there is a definite problem, and you can't get it out of these statistics, if there is a definite problem in that fisheries, you should have a limited entry program in there, and you can do that under your existing law. I just go right back here. This is it's an end run around the process. It makes somebody's life easier. It makes it a little bit more comfortable to do things, to tell people, well, I'm sorry, we've got a moratorium. We're going to look at this for 4 years, and then we may or we may not have a limited entry program. But the bottom or the end result is you will have a limited entry program once you start a moratorium. There's just no way out of it.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to drag this on, but I did want to basically encapsulate the department's comments on this bill. We do view it as primarily as some assistance in management of rapidly emerging fisheries. And as I illustrated, the case in point, the sea cucumber fishery last year, the effort was escalating very rapidly beyond our management capability at the time. We faced a choice of either risking overharvest or closing the fishery. And we did close the fishery, and we developed a management plan as soon as we could, following some assessment surveys. If we had been allowed to establish a moratorium, we would have been able to continue the fishery at a certain level at the same time that we were conducting the studies. And it's my expectation that once we had finished those studies and developed the management plan, that we would have recommended that additional entrants be allowed, because the fishery had not escalated to a point where for all of Southeast that there were too many participants. It's just that they couldn't be spread out far enough and wide enough to protect local resources. And with a full-blown management plan and some resource surveys, I firmly believe that we could have allowed for more participants than even had shown up for last year's fishery when we closed it. So I don't see it necessarily as a four-year moratorium, nor as a backdoor to limited entry, because for the sea cucumber fishery, I believe we would have acted faster, and we more than likely would have recommended an increase in participation once the fishery was under control. Basically, that's the summary of the department's comments on this bill.
Senator Frank?
You know, I was just wondering about using, did the department consider using bag limits and stuff to, instead of just a blanket moratorium, or, you know, blanket closing of the fishery?
Mr. Chairman, we had issued those permits up until a point where we were being challenged that we had not established a regulatory regime for the fishery. At that point, we had to go to the Board of Fisheries, and those had to answer some court challenges, and we had to get some information that we didn't have at the time. The combination of all those factors all at once did not leave us an option to simply say you can only take any individual can only take so many cucumbers. We had been doing that up to that point. But beyond a certain point, when you are affecting the general public, you have to go through the Administrative Procedures Act and establish regulations. And the Board of Fisheries wasn't prepared to meet. We weren't prepared to give them a regulatory plan. We didn't feel that we could proceed without closing the fishery any further than we had taken it. I'm not sure if I'm being very clear here, but no, the answer is no. We had done it up. We had used bag limits up to a certain point, and beyond that, it was an established fishery that we cannot operate without firm regulations any longer, and we had to go through a regulatory procedure.
So,
Senator Frank.
But right now there's a bill in the legislature, and the legislative process is, I assume, a little more cumbersome than the regulatory process. What's happening out there right now? I mean, what methods and means are you using to control it now?
We, in the interim, did develop a management plan. We petitioned the Board of Fisheries to review that management plan earlier, and they have accepted, in one case, a management plan for southeastern sea cucumber fishery, and we're now operating on a revolving quota system for areas. And we also have delegated authority, or we will have as soon as the Lieutenant Governor signs the regulations, delegated authority to impose some interim management measures, more of what I believe you're talking about, between the point where we find it's a high-impact fishery and prior to the board being able to take it up in their next cycle. We have gone through the regulatory process now for sea cucumbers, but back when we closed the fishery, we didn't have the opportunity to do that.
Okay, so you're saying that you got the problem solved with sea cucumbers?
For southeast sea cucumbers, we do have a management plan in effect, and I don't believe we'd be going for a moratorium for the reasons stated here, no.
So you don't need this bill for sea cucumbers, but you might use it for some other emerging fishery.
We have the same level of interest developing for sea urchins that we had for sea cucumbers not too many years ago, and we anticipate that we could have a very similar problem.
Senator Frank?
I guess I'd be more... I don't know. I guess I, again, am concerned about limiting entry, for Alaskans. And if we
if we can't meet the thing, you know, meet the concerns as the department has met them, you know, on the sea cucumber and dealt with it. Apparently, you have dealt with it on another emerging. It seems like we ought to be able to, you know, even if you have to close the thing down temporarily. I see that as preferable to getting into a limited entry, even if it's a moratorium, even if it's a temporary, theoretically temporary, because I know that the political things being what they are, that they'll, as Senator Jarrett says, they'll tend to be a permanent type thing over time. I would prefer to see the department use those regulatory means to protect the resource and get a handle on things and not go to a sledgehammer approach of limited entry to control the resource, personally.
Senator Lask?
Well, just one comment. You know, example of this cucumber fishery last year. This fishery doesn't take a lot of capital. You and I could do it with a skiff and if we know how to skin dive.
Right.
It enhances the areas that the people live. I mean, it is Alaska fishery. It was. It wasn't Alaska fishery. It was a fishery that anyone could get into with a very small amount of money. Risky, but it's all inside waters, but nevertheless, it's still risky. When you're out diving, when somebody who's lost their and sick their life here because inexperienced more than anything else. And it's discouraging to have something like this develop where people in these villages are out making a few bucks, and all of a sudden the fishing aid department closes the season. And their only explanation is that we don't know what's out there, we're afraid we might damage the resource, so sorry if I let you sit on a beach for a year until we look at it. The other option is if you feel like we want to get involved, we could put money in the budget and go out and look at these other types of fishes which we think are going to be developed. But nobody seems interested in doing that. We have a difficult time enough funding what we do have going on out there. So I guess it's sort of a situation where you get some people interested, some people, you know, making a few dollars, something that we always talk about this legislature, economic development. And we get a chance to do something about it, we say, well, no, we don't worry about this, worry about that. We're uneasy, but, you know, I guess what I'm saying is that that's fine, but we want to look at the other types of fishery to which we might think are going to be impacted. Let's throw some money in the kitty and do it. Then they'll be prepared. But they certainly were unprepared this last winter. So consequently, everyone suffered.
Yeah, I probably overstated my preference for having to close it. I wouldn't want to see them close it. I'd prefer to see them limit it somehow through methods and means so that we wouldn't have the incentive for people to come up so that more Alaskans could get in, because if we close the thing, then no more Alaskans can get into the thing either, and we've got, I don't know what percentage, you know, from outside, but if the big threat was from outside, then we wound up, you know, kind of locking in the outsiders and preventing the new Alaskans from getting in. That's my concern.
No, it's not. Inevitably, it's Alaskans that do develop the fisheries. And in that case, it was. We went on our doorstep, we went out there ourselves, and did it. Lost a handle on it. And, you know, this salmon fisheries, every other fishery you can think of, those primary Alaskans went out there and developed the fishery, but they're overwhelmed by other influences. This thing's been going on for a number of years along the West Coast. Those things are valuable, you know, something like you and I can't afford to eat. Nevertheless, when it hit the Alaska scene, we were there first, but it was only a matter of a month or two when the fleet moved in, and then we closed it. So, you know, it's very difficult. I suspect there's people out there who could tell us all about that.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people out like to testify. I'd just like to follow up on what Senator Lyson has been talking about. Why don't you put limited entry on diving nest crab?
Well, the problem we had with rationalizing a limited entry program at this time center as I explained earlier, there's a 300 pot limit. The maximum number we would use at this time would be 270. That means those 270 people could fish 80,000 pots if they all went out and fished 300. They're not going to do that. Those 270 some vessels are reporting that they're fishing someplace around 48 or 49,000 pots. That's what they have to report to the Division of Comfish, what they think they're going to fish. And so they're reporting that they're fishing someplace around, you know, 50,000 pots. we took a look at the 100 top fishermen, 50 top fishermen in that Dungeness Crab fishery. And if you gave each one of those fishermen 300 pots, or fishing the full 300 pots, they accounted for, those 50 fishermen accounted for close to 70% of the harvest. And it didn't make much sense to the commission that our program, our licensing program, would do very much to help either the economic health of the fishery, which we have to look at when we come up with a limited entry program. We have to make findings that we're going to enhance the economic health of the fishermen, and that it would serve the purpose of conservation of the resource. And there was a serious question in our mind as to whether or not our program would serve those findings. And that's why we have, until now, said no.
Okay, then what will the moratorium do for you that would be different than allowing 270? If you put a limited entry on, you say there'd be 270 out there. What would the moratorium do for you?
Well, the moratorium, as the first thing the moratorium would do, it would alleviate the fear of the Dungeness crab fishermen in Southeast Alaska about the boats from down below coming up. That's the major reason some of those Dungeness crab fishermen want the moratorium. And second, it would give us time to 4 years in which no new entrants coming into the fishery, which we could hopefully find a solution to the problem. One of them would probably be having to deal with reducing the number of pots. The Board of Fish now meets every 3 years, and I don't know when last year was that they took up the Southeast Dungeness crab fishery, but the Board of Fish doesn't take up regulations on every fishery in the state every year. It used to be every year, and it was two, now it's three. So it would give us time to work with the board and hopefully working with the department to come up with a solution to this problem.
Okay.
Mr. Smith, you have a...
All right, let's, I would like to get on with some testimony here. We have a lot of people out there. I would ask you all in testimony that you make it as short as possible. We've got a lot of people out there. We're limited for time. We've got about a half hour here. So we'll start out in Petersburg, testify Joe Short.
Petersburg, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. This is only Neil and Joe Short, because I'm available at this time. I've participated in the Dungeness crab fishery in Southeast Alaska for approximately 18 years as a deckhand and as a boat owner. The last 10 years as a boat owner and an operator. I've fished the maximum amount of gear, 300 pots. I feel that's the only way at this time for me to be economically viable is to remain at that number of pots. I run a circuit at present. It covers a mileage of 300 miles in a large loop out of Petersburg. The crab fishery has changed drastically in the time I've been in it. And some of the numbers that the Fish and Game has may be misleading in that they show that there has been a sustained yield in the crab fishery. The reason for this apparent sustained yield isn't necessarily the health of the stocks, but the fact that every available area with Dungeness crab on it at present is being utilized, is being fished. It'd be similar to someone in a dairy farm continually milking cows, and they're milking more and more cows and still getting the same amount of milk. Well, the guy at the milking barn might not see that the hand outside opened up the gate to the other pasture. So that's the fishery at present has the present amount of gear in it has problems. And if you increase that amount of gear, decrease the amount of participation in the fishery, it's only going to get worse. We have in the past tried to get limited entry, and for one reason or another, we've kind of been passed back and forth between the regulatory bodies. Fish and Game says it's one person's court, and CFPC says it's Fish and Game should regulate the pot. Somebody better do something here real quick. You say a maximum number of boats at one point was 266. As the market conditions for crabs this year, it's going to be a strong price. You're likely to see that possibly double. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Stay there, and Petersburg will take Bill Floor.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Chairman. I don't have a bunch of stuff here, but it's all pretty much been addressed. But talk to a couple specific things some of the legislators we were talking about. Senator Cotton there started out, he said, he wondered what good the moratorium was going to do. Wasn't there some provision within the... Senator Cotton asked if there wasn't some provision for through the Board of Fish for limiting possibly via time, fishing time. We've given up an awful lot of time already. In 1985, we gave up 6 weeks of prime fishing time. And then in 1988, we gave up two winter months.